This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Democracy Summit, the virtual Democracy Summit held by the Biden administration at the White House in these last days, and what it shows us about the state of democracy right now, the concern for the liberal democratic states, and the mysteries of the guest list. I welcome Sadanan Dume of the American Enterprise Institute, who writes for the Wall Street Journal editorial page, always observing the world that is ironic. And in this instance, the Democracy Summit was deeply ironic. Sadanan, a very good evening to you. In reading your column, I went along about the presentation by the White House and the ambition to raise a grave concern about democracy under threat. And we can name the hemisphere, Western Hemisphere, Eastern Hemisphere, North or South, and there is threat everywhere. However, when I got to one name on the list, I stopped reading and thought, what is this? How to explain this? Sadanan, Pakistan was invited. Did it show up? And what does this tell us about the Democracy Summit? Good evening to you.
Very good evening, John. You're absolutely right. Now, you know, I wanted to start out by pointing out that in principle, I think it makes a lot of sense for the U.S. to care about democracy around the world. I mean, it's an obvious thing to say, but, you know, these days some people debate that. We are facing a large, powerful, authoritarian foe in China, and we have never faced a foe that is as, in some ways, as economically and technologically sophisticated. Certainly, they're much more economically and technologically sophisticated than the Soviet Union. So I'm all for the idea of promoting democracy and caring about democracy. What I think the problem is that this is exactly how you don't do it. On the question of Pakistan, it's not a country that by any stretch of the imagination can be called a democracy. The joke about Pakistan is that most countries have an army. In the case of Pakistan, the army has a country. There's a Singaporean scholar who has written about it as the garrison state. They essentially, even when there's a civilian facade, like there is now with Prime Minister Imran Khan, the army calls the shots. Secondly, you had the Pakistani involvement in Afghanistan in installing the Taliban in power in Kabul, probably one of the least democratic forces in the world, the Taliban, backed by Pakistan. And then you have the fact that Pakistan is, for all intents and purposes, a Chinese client state. And what made matters worse was not only did the Biden administration invite Pakistan, but then Pakistan turned around and snubbed the Biden administration because they said, well, you know what? Thank you for inviting us for this, but we're not coming to your democracy summit. So my point is that, first of all, they should not have been invited. But if you did go and make such a boo-boo and invite this country that is clearly not democratic, they went and made it worse by then getting snubbed by Pakistan.
Yes, the Pakistan puzzle. Let's explore just one more step. I have learned from your columns and elsewhere that Pakistan is a client, but beyond that is a tool that the Chinese Communist Party uses in the region in order to disorient all of the players, chiefly India, but other parts of the subcontinent. The White House knows this. We know it because the White House knows it. Was that mentioned in any fashion for this invitation, that you're inviting a tool of the adversary?
So I think it's very naive of the Biden White House. I think their calculation may have been that they would use this invitation as a kind of carrot to wean the Pakistanis at least partly away from Beijing's influence. That's utterly unrealistic because Pakistan is in some ways China's closest ally, in fact, in the region. It is a country that has been allied with China for more than 50 years. And it's a very, very deep relationship. And you can see that in something that you and I have talked about in the past, which is the silence of the Pakistanis when it comes to the persecution of Muslims in Xinjiang. So the Pakistanis will talk about Muslims anywhere else in the world. They can't stop talking about Palestine, and they can't stop talking about Muslims in France and Muslims in the UK or Muslims in the Netherlands and Muslims in the US, because they kind of see themselves as a champion of Islamic causes around the world. But for some reason, when it comes to Muslims right next door in Xinjiang, the Pakistanis say, well, what problem? Is there a problem there? What problem? We don't know anything about it. And so it's pretty obvious that the Pakistanis are not going to be peeled away from China because China is what props them up.
Right.
And I think it's just an example of being incredibly naive to think that this invitation, to make the invitation in the first place, and then to think that it would go through.
Unless, of course, they were trying to please the Chinese, but I rule that out. Two exclusions that struck me as odd. Sri Lanka, which is seeking to repair itself after the years of turmoil and civil war and tragedy. And Singapore, certainly a perfectly run state, a city-state, really. But let's get to the big puzzle. India was invited, and India is going through a bad patch here. Is democracy a debate in Indian politics?
So it depends on how you define democracy, right? If you talk to the average Indian, they would say that, well, there's no problem with Indian democracy because the electoral part of Indian democracy is very robust. More than 600 million people voted in 2019. So if you understand democracy as people going out to vote and choosing their leaders, then, of course, democracy in India is doing really well. It's thriving. But if you define democracy a little bit more carefully as liberal democracy, and if you look at things like the freedom of the media, if you look at the independence of the courts, if you look at equality of before the law, the right to due process, habeas corpus, right? The things that safeguard us as individuals in liberal democracies, whether we're in the US or Canada or the UK or any other advanced liberal democracy, that's where India has been backsliding. So that's why there's been, you know, India is not a black and white case where like a country like Pakistan that should simply not have been on the list to start with. But it's a gray case because even though it continues to be a robust democracy in an electoral sense, in the sense of being a liberal democracy, it's been backsliding quite dramatically over the last 5 years.
Does the Indian media think of itself as free or controlled or in some way watched? Is there containment, a fresh containment of the India media?
So a lot of it is co-opted. I think the model that we see used by a lot of these populist strongmen who have risen, particularly over the last decade, is that they get, you know, the television stations tend to be owned by businessmen who have other business interests and are beholden to the ruling party for some reason. So a lot of the Indian media is not controlled in the way that, say, you know, the Chinese media is controlled, or even in the way that the Russian media, or let alone the old Soviet media, was controlled. It's more sophisticated than that, but the end result is very similar, where your room to be critical of the government or of the prime minister, particularly on certain issues, is constrained. So they've co-opted some of the media. They have browbeaten the people who they could not co-opt, and they basically attack and insult anybody who continues to speak out against them. So it's the media situation is not great. I don't want to exaggerate it. It's not as bad as China. It's not as bad as an authoritarian country, but it's certainly not as free as the media you see in a thriving liberal democracy.
And was this true for the Congress Party as well as it is for the BJP? We have about 30 seconds.
Yes, largely. So I think that things were never perfect. I would say that incrementally they've gotten slightly worse under the BJP.
Sadanand Dume of the American Enterprise Institute, writing at the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, his column on the affairs from the subcontinent point of view, and in this instance, democracy, the question mark raised by the White House virtual summit. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply. What does VA mean to me?
A place for my daughter to call home. Thanks to the VA home loan.
A new lease on life. The best healthcare team I've ever had is here at VA.
An education and the opportunity to open doors I never thought possible with my GI Bill.
The financial support I need to manage the disabilities I develop because of my service.
Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.